We've been studying through the book of James, and I tell you what, I could start this series all over again because every time I read through the book of James, there's something that jumps out on the page that I need to work on or that helps me get through this life. And James is just a masterful communicator because he's just like me. He's a bottom line guy. He doesn't want to spill a lot of beans and talk about a lot of stuff. He lands that plane when it comes to doing what you need to know. And today he is going to teach you about conflict. Is there anybody in here that doesn't have any conflict in their life? Don't raise your hand because you will be in conflict with me. Everybody has conflict in their life. As a matter of fact, you know, when it comes to marriage, there's three stages. There's the happy honeymoon. That's when everything's great and everything's wonderful. You wake up happy every morning, and then about 3 weeks into it, it starts to change. And then things get a little bit different. And it goes from the happy honeymoon to we're in trouble. Amen? And then it goes from we're in trouble to let's make a deal. And that's when marriage really starts to work. That's when you start working through things. And no matter what is going on in your life, you're going to have conflict with someone at some time. And James just starts off right away. What causes fights and quarrels among you? And he says, it is your evil It is your desires that battle within you. The cause of conflict is unmet expectations. The cause of every conflict is unmet expectations. And a lot of times conflict comes not because another person has not met your expectations, but sometimes conflict comes because your own expectations of yourself have not been met. I like to have everything done right. I like to do things. And I'm going to tell you, whenever I'm working on something, I want it to look perfect. Now, I've learned a long time ago, perfect is the enemy of good, so sometimes good is good. But one of the things that's really I struggle with quite often is that I get mad at myself. I am in conflict with myself because my expectations aren't met. And a lot of times, other people disappoint us. Just shake your head yes, but don't look to your right or to your left. Other people disappoint us from time to time. And it's all about our desires, what we want, and what others want. You see, there is a conflict that happens because my desires don't always match your desires. And my desires don't always match Nancy's desires. And so you have to work through those things. Well, what are these desires? And I want you to understand, these desires in and of themselves are not wrong. All of these desires of what God gave us, it's when they go astray that they become wrong. First, it is the desire to have. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have things. God put that in our DNA, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to have things. The problem with a lot of us, we want to have everything. We want to have it all. I remember growing up and seeing a bumper sticker that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." And I always thought that was pretty cool. But then I saw one that says, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." And he was right. Whoever wrote the second bumper sticker, because you cannot have it all, and even if you get it all, you can't take it with you. Some of you in here are trying so hard in this life to get all you can, and then you want to can all you get, and then you want to just sit on your can. That is what it is to have the desire to have. That is what he's talking about here. You see, some of us in here love things so much that they use people to get things. I would say to you, we need to reverse that. We need to love people and use things. I love what Tim Keller said, and if you miss Andrew Wilson's class on idols, you need to go back and listen to it. But one of the things he says in his book is the good into, if we turn good into the ultimate goal, then we are using things as an idol. Letter B, there is the desire to feel. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel good. Amen? As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this in the shower this morning. I was thinking about how good a hot shower feels. Amen? Some of you need to try that sometime by the look on your face. Okay? Because I'm going to just say to you, you get in a hot shower and the steam is there and, you know, you're feeling the water all over you and it just feels good, right? But if you stay in the shower too long, guess what happens? You start to wrinkle up and you look old like me automatically. You see, the thing of it is, there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel good. It's just when we take it a step too far, it says you may spend what you get on your pleasure. God created many things for our pleasure, and he wants us to enjoy the things he created for us, but he does not want them to be the things that take over our life. Letter C, the desire to be. The desire to be. And that's pride and power that a lot of us want. We want pride. We want to have power. We want to be prestigious. As a matter of fact, if you have kids, at one time or another, your kid is going to look at you and say, look at me, look at me. And this is something that we do into our adulthoods, but we just don't do it like a little kid. Instead, we just say, look at me, by the cars we buy, the clothes we wear, the house that we live in. We want everybody to look at me. I remember when my boys were little, they always wanted to be the most powerful. I was watching Jackson and Jacob this morning as they were playing in the teen room, and I was thinking about my boys and how much fun I had with my boys and them wrestling and things like that. But one of the things that would always tickle me is when they would wrestle me. And they were so much littler than me, and I would wrestle them to the ground, and I would tickle them, and I would play with them, and then I would look at them, and I would say, who's your daddy? And they would scream, you are, Dad, you are. But I remember one time in particular, my youngest son, who is so much like me, and he is so stubborn, I tickled him until he was about to cry. And he would not say, you're my daddy, because he had so much pride in him. You see, those desires that we have in and of itself is not bad. It's when they become the ultimate good that we're seeking. Look at Proverbs 13:10. Pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and become wise. I want you to underline those words. Pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and become wise. You see, there is a step-by-step process in that verse on how we're going to become wise. First of all, it is being humble. And secondly, you need to learn to take some advice. And it may not be that you're taking, or it may be that you're taking your advice from the wrong people. I used to do a lot of marriage counseling. I don't do it so much anymore, but when I did marriage counseling, one of the things that always bothered me is when people would come into marriage counseling and they would talk to me about what their friends said they should be doing. And most of the times, their friends were not Christians. And a lot of times, even if they were Christians, they were living by the worldly advice, not by biblical advice. And we need to be very careful who we get our advice from. But I'm going to say one place you can always get the right advice is from the Bible. So take advice and become wise. Well, why aren't our desires fulfilled? Why do we not get our desires fulfilled? Number one is we don't ask God. It says you don't have because you do not ask God. Well, you know, there's a song that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit when we forget to pray. And the problem with a lot of us, we are so busy trying to make life happen, and we're trying to make things happen around us, that we forget to ask God, is this in your will or is it not? More times than not, I have done things and I've gotten down the road with something and it's fallen apart, and I think back to myself, you know, I never prayed about this once. Growing up in a household where my father was a preacher and my mother was a Bible class teacher and the church secretary for a little while, we were in church all the time, listening to lessons all the time. But as I got older, I became very independent, and I did not pray. And the reason why I didn't pray is because I thought I have it under control. And it says here, James is saying, the reason why you don't have what you need is because you forget to ask God. Number two, why aren't our desires fulfilled? We are in conflict with God. I don't know if you remember Buddy Holly and the Click, but he wrote a song that later on Clash put up, and it was called I Fought the Law and the Law Won. You remember that? That was my theme song for a while, because I was always fighting the law which was my father. I fought the law and the law always won. Well, let me tell you something. When you fight against God, God always wins. He never loses. He has never lost a fight. He's undefeated. For how many thousands of years, I don't know, but he is undefeated. And when you fight against God, and it says here to be a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. And I wouldn't want to be an enemy of God. Well, the cure for all of this is humility. You got to start with humility. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And then it says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate us singing that song today, because it is so important to conflict in our life. If you're struggling with conflict with anybody, the very first thing you need to do is humble yourself. And I know that humility is one of those things that a lot of people don't understand. It's not thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less and thinking more of others. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself there before the Lord and he will lift you up. Well, here's the steps to resolving your conflict. Number one, give in to God. It says, submit then to God. One of the things that I think that we don't teach enough, and James mentions this in this passage, is that when you become a Christian, God puts his spirit inside of you. It's all throughout the Bible, and there's some people that have different thoughts on what that means and what that looks like, but I'm going to tell you this. I can guarantee you one thing for sure, that God's Spirit is in you once you're baptized. And now you say, well, I didn't have a special feeling. I can't tell the future. That has nothing to do with God's Spirit being inside you. What I want you to hear is you've got God's Spirit inside you, but just because you were baptized doesn't mean that your spirit doesn't still want to be in control. Every single day, I have to stop and think, am what I am doing because it's what Neil wants, or is what I am doing is because what God wants? Because there's a constant battle going on inside of each one of us as Christians as to what God wants for us versus what we want for us. And I can tell you this many, many times. I have let what I want overshadow what God wants for me. I want you to hear this. You're never going to win this battle completely. There's always going to be a point in your life where you're going to want something that's contrary to God. And this process, after you become a Christian, is for us working to let God's Spirit reign in us and our spirit be dismissed. But it's a hard battle. I was talking with someone this past week about anger. And I was telling them that one of the things that I've learned about anger is that the more I let anger control me, the more anger controls me. And the more I control anger, the easier it is for me to control anger later. And the same thing is for God working in your life and letting His Spirit rule in your life. The more you let God's Spirit rule in your life, the more it's going to be easier to let Him rule from then on. But the more you take control and move God's Spirit out of the way, the harder it's going to be to let God's Spirit move back in. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Number two, you're going to have to get wise to Satan. You're going to have to get wise to Satan. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think a lot of us don't really think that Satan's out there trying to attack us. I think we just kind of got lulled into this sense of security that Satan's, he's there. Yes, Satan's real, but he's not really coming after me. Well, let me say this to you with some of the most profound words that I heard when I first started preaching. I was preaching and I went to this guy and I said, "I got to tell you something. I feel like I am getting tempted wherever I turn, whatever I'm doing. There's something. The devil's throwing something at me." And he looked at me and grinned. And I'm like, "I came to you for help." And he says, "Neil, you got to remember, if you're not running into Satan every single day, it's because you're walking with him. And you need to get wise to Satan and know that he is wanting to capture your attention and cause you to go down a wrong path." 2 Corinthians 2:11, "In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not aware of his schemes." Number three, grow closer to God. It says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." And I think that this is something that is just kind of difficult for a lot of us. We know that we want salvation. We know that we want God to be in our lives. We know we want to be the right kind of people. But a lot of us don't really understand having a close relationship with God. Our relationship is probably more so with other church members than it is with God. I'll never forget, it was in this building. The lady was sitting on that second row there. And we were in a Bible class, and we were talking about having a relationship with Christ. And she raised her hand, and she said, "I have had a relationship with the church for many, many years, but it's only been recently that I had a relationship with Christ." And so many of us are trying to have a relationship with other people. And it gets discouraging sometimes because our relationships with one another don't always meet our expectations. Amen? But I can tell you one relationship that you can have in your life, and you can have it every day and anytime you want it, and that is a relationship with God. You see, His Word is always there for you. And He will listen to your prayers. It's an ongoing conversation you can have all day long, where you're just talking to God and He's talking back to you. I cannot tell you the number of times I've been dealing with something and Scripture has come to my mind as to how to answer or how to deal with something that's going on. And it's because I'm talking to God and God's talking to me through His Word. He puts a still, small voice in you that you need to hear if you're active in doing it. You say, "Well, Neil, that sounds so cool, but I don't even know how to begin with that." I'm going to tell you the best way to begin to draw closer to God. And this is so weird that this was our communion, but it's thankfulness. It is genuinely thankfulness. If you will spend time every day just going through the good things that you've got going on in your life. And you say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, how about walking out your door and thanking God for the fact that you're able to walk out your door? Thank God for the fact that you are alive today and you have another chance to do better. Thank God for the family that you have. Thank God for what you have already instead of focusing on what you don't have. Some of the happiest people I have ever met are the people that I met in Honduras. They didn't speak my language. I did not speak theirs. There was a translator that we talked, but they were the happiest people that I had ever met. And you know what? They were some of the poorest people I have ever met. But they had God, and they focused on God. And I think if you want to have some joy in your life, you need to get closer to God. Isaiah 26:3, He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Underline that word, those words, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. That is the best way to get close to Him. And number four, on steps to resolving your conflict, number four is get a new heart. Be willing to ask for forgiveness. I was thinking about this right here because of the fact that I think sometimes when it comes to asking for forgiveness or getting a new heart, we think of people, oh, may have done something really bad. They need to ask for forgiveness. But I'm telling you, when it comes to your heart and letting God rule in your life, it is a constant battle. It's a constant redirecting, if you will. I never sailed a big boat, but I've driven some smaller boats. And one of the things that you realize when you're driving a smaller boat is you can point the boat in one direction and think, well, that's where you're going to land. But then the waves underneath you will actually move the boat. And then before you know it, you're going in the wrong direction. And then there's wind that will come if it's a big ship, and it will actually throw a ship off course because it's so big the wind catches it. And I understand this is true with airplanes. We got pilots in here. You can fact check me with them, but they've got to continue, and they've got GPS and stuff now, but they've got to continue to make sure they stay on course. And for a lot of us, we've been holding steady, going in the same direction, and it's time for us to wake up and realize we're not going in the right direction and get the ship back on course. Well, James 4:9 says, from the Living Bible, let there be tears for the wrong things you have done. Let there be sorrow and sincere grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. I'm a pretty positive person. As a matter of fact, I was with my son this past week, and he was upset about something, and I was showing him something positive in what all had happened. And he just looked at me with this look of disgust in his face and said, I appreciate you trying to be positive right now, but it's not helping any. But there are times when I'm not positive. There's times when I grieve. And it's during those times, the hard times, that I turn to God. You see, asking for forgiveness and repenting of sins are something that we should be doing constantly. Because repentance is basically turning back towards God. And forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, is knowing that we have fallen short. If you're here today and you're in conflict with somebody, and I hope that when you leave here, you will figure out a way to get out of conflict with them. Because being in conflict with people is not what God requires of us. He wants us to live in harmony with everyone. Not just our family, but everyone we come in contact with. Over the past several weeks, I have been reading through the Bible. And I've just been reading through the Bible and just looking for places where God gives an invitation to us through His Word. And if you turn over on the back page of your notes, you are going to be seeing the invitation from God's Word today. It says in Philippians 2, 3 through 5, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the each of you, to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That's our goal. And then I want to leave you with these encouraging words. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purifies themselves just as he is pure. The lesson is yours as we stand in.
Abide with me.
Young man that's been visiting with us for some time. His name is Aaron, and he came with one of our members. They do. They struck up a friendship, and I don't know if you've seen the two of them together, but it's an unusual friendship because of the age difference and because of the height difference. But Aaron's come several times, and a few months ago he came to me and he said, Neil, I need to be baptized. And I'm like, okay, well, we can sit down and talk about it. I said, have you ever read through any of the Gospels? And he says, no, I have not. And I said, well, I'm going to challenge you. You read through the book of Mark, and then we'll sit down and we'll talk about being baptized. Took him a little bit because of life, but he read through the book of Mark. And then I sat down with him and David, and I brought a young man by the name of Diego with me because Aaron doesn't understand English perfectly. And I wanted Aaron to know what I was saying and really understand it. And we're sitting in a place you probably never thought that I would be, but it's a place called Cracker Barrel. And we're sitting in Cracker Barrel. And Diego's translating in Spanish the words that I have in English. And I saw God's hand at work. If you think for one minute that God put us on this earth and just left us alone, you are so sadly mistaken. Because God uses us to help one another. And it was one of the most proudest moments that I've had to watch Aaron understand the gospel, explained to him in Spanish from a teenager. God is at work. Aaron's coming to be baptized today, and we're going to get to witness that. So